Our passage this morning is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. This is the word of the Lord. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has found a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Father, we come asking you. We are desperate for you and your help to teach us, to show us your glory, to raise our view of you, and then to lead us to be a people that trusts you, that delight in you, so much so that we would pray, we would meet with you, we would talk to you, we would intercede for others. But we need your help, like the disciples. Teach us, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's wonderful to be with you. As you've heard, we're going to start a new series called Teach Us to Pray. We're going to be mostly in the Lord's Prayer throughout this study, and you can follow along in a Bible if you have. I'll be highlighting a few things in Luke chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, we have these black Bibles in the seats in front of you somewhere, and you can grab one of those. It's on page 869. There'll be a few times I'll just highlight maybe some verses in there that you can put your own eyes on the Word of God yourself. If you don't own a Bible, that Bible is a gift from us to you. Take it with you and read it. We would be delighted with that. Well, as we get this started in this series, Teach Us to Pray, here's the question. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? Now, chances are when we get asked that question, I think the universal response for me and most people that I ever ask is, it's not as good as I want it to be. I don't pray as much as I should. I'm not sure what to pray. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm doing really well in it. And then maybe followed close behind that is some guilt or some shame even. Because we know as Christians, we know we're supposed to be praying. We're even supposed to pray continually. Well, how do we do that? I just don't seem to meet the mark. I seem to struggle to be effective or to pray as much as I think I should be praying. You know, I think perhaps nothing more in our lives is the way to make us feel discouraged about our spiritual growth than when we're asked, "How's your prayer life?" It's just hard, isn't it? It reveals something in us. But I want to start right here from the beginning. Let's get something very clear from the beginning of this series. There is no guilt or shame. There is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Jesus died for you. He paid for your sins. He made you a part of God's family. He delights in us. And so we don't need to feel condemned because we don't meet the standard we have in our mind or even that we want to. No, we are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit, and He's going to invite us to pray. And so as we get into this, it's an opportunity for us to learn, to grow, but not to feel ashamed of how we're not there yet. No, God is so loving, He's so kind, He's so patient. He doesn't condemn those who are in Christ. He draws us into a deeper and deeper relationship with Himself. So our goal in this series is just simply to learn how to pray. That's what the disciple wanted for all the rest of the guys. How do we pray? Lord, teach us to pray. We don't want to pray because we don't want prayer. We don't want to learn how to pray to make it a burden that we just have to carry, but that we would see the joy and the blessing it is that we get to talk to our Heavenly Father. I mean, just think, the God of the universe, the one who created us and then redeemed us and saved us from sins, we can hear from Him anytime we open the Word. But then we get to talk to Him anytime we want. We get to tell Him what's going on in our life. We get to praise Him, bring our brokenness to Him, pray for others. Anytime the door is open for us. But it still leads us. How do we grow in prayer? Well, here's one option we could do. We could read. And we could read some more. And then we could read even more. Right? I'm sure some of you have in your library some books on prayer, don't you? This is partly from my library and from the church library. There's a lot of books on prayer. Some of these really helpful. Some maybe not so much. But this is one avenue. We could go and just grab all these books and we could try to read and read and read and learn. And then we could even find books that give us model prayers and we could just repeat those prayers and that'll change everything, won't it? Well, it hasn't worked for me all the time. And so, yeah, you can read all these books. We could read these kind of books all day long. But I think what's most important is that we go to the Word of God. And so our series will be grounded in the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to take our time through the Lord's Prayer. We're going to take it piece by piece because Jesus said, this is how you pray. It becomes this model for how we pray. And so we're going to dig deep into the Word of God. So based on the Lord's Prayer, what is prayer? Well, I would just take it and reword it to define prayer as this. It's talking to God in praise. It's asking that His will would be done. It's asking that He would provide for all our needs. It's even confessing our sins to Him. And then it's interceding on behalf of others, asking God to accomplish His will in their life. All the while expecting that He hears us and that He will answer us. He will answer us. So we're going to dig deep into the Word of God in this series. Matthew chapter 6 and Luke 11 are where we find the Lord's Prayer. Next week, Jim will give us an overview on the Lord's Prayer. And then after that, we're going to dig in phrase by phrase and learn exactly what Jesus invites us into through prayer. But this morning, I want to answer two big questions as we get into this. First, why should we even pray? Why pray? And I think in our passage, we get two reasons. And the rest of Scripture, we'll see too. And then, just have a little moment of honesty with one another. What prevents us from being a people that really pray? That thrive in prayer? That pray continually? What prevents us from praying as we would desire to pray? Well, here in our passage, I think Jesus, by teaching the Lord's Prayer and then this parable, I think we see two reasons why we pray. And many different theologians sum it up in different ways. Some say it's because we're commanded to pray so that we can commune with God. Others say it's our duty to pray, but we delight in prayer because we meet with our Heavenly Father. So here's the context of this passage in our entire series. Jesus is praying. If you read the Gospels, Jesus is praying a lot. He's praying often. And so the disciples see this, and one of the disciples says, Lord, teach us to pray. Probably not a better question you could ask. Lord, teach us to pray. You know, as I even studied this, I thought, I don't know if I've ever asked the Lord to pray. I've read lots of books about prayer. But have I even just gone to the Lord and said, Lord, teach me. I know you say in your word, but teach me how to pray. So I'm excited for this time. And Jesus, he's so gracious. He's so loving. He says, when you pray, say. And then he goes and he gives them this example, this model prayer. But what I think is important here first is that Jesus says, when you pray. He doesn't say, if you pray. He doesn't say, you know, I know sometime you might think about praying, and if you ever do, say it like this. No, he says when. He's implying that prayer is this normal part of the Christian life. It's an invitation from God. It's God saying, talk to me, come to me. And so Jesus says when. He expects that we're going to be a praying people. See, I think it reveals first that prayer is the duty of every Christian. We are commanded to pray. And not just here when Jesus says when you pray, but here's some other examples in the New Testament in particular. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Luke 22, 40. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. 1 Timothy 2, 1, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then our favorite, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Really? Yes. Pray without ceasing. It's in the Word. We're commanded to. Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 4, 2, continue steadfastly in prayer. We're commanded to pray. It is the duty of believers to pray. But why? Why would God command us to pray? Because God uses our prayers to accomplish His will. There's examples in the Scriptures. When Elijah prays that it would not rain, God answers and it doesn't rain. When Joshua prays that the sun would stand still, the sun stands still. And I bet most of us would be able to tell stories about prayers we prayed that God answered and God did something. He accomplished something. He changed something in our life or in somebody else's life. James tells us in chapter 5, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. God actually uses prayer to accomplish things in life, to do things, to pour out His love and His blessing and to make His purposes happen. Now, how does this work? Well, we don't have time to answer the mysterious question of God's sovereignty and our human responsibility. We're not going to answer that question this morning. Maybe Jim will do it next week. No, I'm just kidding. He's not either, right? We'll just keep pushing it off every week. No, it is mysterious that God has purposes. He has His will that He will accomplish it. And yet He uses our prayers to accomplish His will. It's mysterious. And all we can do is we can trust that God has said, pray. Pray and I will work through your prayers. Not because you are righteous, but because Jesus, who you come under, who has shed His blood for you, who has forgiven you of your sins, and now I see you as righteous through Christ. When you come to me through Jesus, in Jesus' name, then I work. I work. I use your prayers to accomplish my purposes. And so it is the duty of every believer in Jesus to pray. But it's more than that. I think if we just leave it there as this command that we need to obey, that's where we can tend to struggle. Because what does it mean to pray continually? I'm not praying as much as I want to, and I start to feel this guilt or shame. But I think this parable, Jesus doesn't just tell us when you pray, then He tells us this story, this parable to illustrate a spiritual truth. Because He wants us to understand that prayer is not just a duty, but it is a delight for the Christian. Because it's our opportunity to talk to our good and loving Heavenly Father. In this parable, there's this person that has somebody show up at their house late at night. Well, we don't even know what the deal is with that person. Why would they do that? But they do. And so that the person has nothing to feed them, goes to his neighbor, and the neighbor, rightfully so, is a little grumpy. Do you realize what time it is? I'm not getting up. You're going to wake my whole fam. Go away. But because this person is persistent, he gives in and he gives him what he needs. Jesus even says at the end of the parable, did you catch it? If you who are evil, straight talk from Jesus. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God? How much more? See, God's heart is for us. He wants to relate to us. He loves us. It's not just a command, but it's an opportunity. It's a delight for us to commune with Him. Yes, He uses our prayers to accomplish His purposes, but God also uses our time in prayer to conform our hearts to His heart, to make our heart, which is often wayward, it's not in line with His heart and His will. He uses our prayers to bring us in line. Here's my favorite example in the scriptures. It's in Genesis 18. It's not my favorite because of what happens to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a horrible ending for that city. It's my favorite because of what God says before Abraham and God have this prayer, negotiation. They go back and forth, because Abraham wants to save the city. This is what God says in Genesis chapter 18. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? He's going to accomplish his purposes. But see, he wants Abraham involved. He invites Abraham in to the process because he has something for Abraham to learn. He wants Abraham to understand who he is as God. He wants Abraham's eyes lifted higher up to see that God is a God of righteousness and justice and grace and mercy and salvation. He wants Abraham to know who God is, because Abraham's going to be the father of this great nation. And so God doesn't keep his plans from Abraham, but he invites Abraham in. And then in the end, after it's all over, Genesis 19:29, the scriptures tell us that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. God remembered Abraham. What a delight that we could pray to God and that He would remember you. That He would remember what you asked Him to do. That's so much more than just a command to accomplish and obey. It's an invitation in. God desires time with us. He wants us to be a part of what He's doing. And He's such a good father that gives good gifts. Again, you go to the parable. He is a good father. How much more? What a delight that the God of the universe, even though we have sinned against Him, He provided a way for us to come to Him through Jesus. Hebrews says it this way, with confidence to draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is our great high priest. He paid for our sins. The veil of the temple was torn in two, and now we have access to God. What a delight. We no longer need to go through someone else, but God Himself invites us in to pray, to talk to Him, to give Him praise, to bring our burdens, to confess our sin, to pray for others, to ask Him to meet our needs. What a mind-blowing delight this is. The one who could crush us says, no, I love you. I'm a good father. And if you can give good gifts, imagine what I can do for you. The psalmist says it this way in 63:3, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Prayer is a delight for the believer. It is a duty. We are commanded to pray. And so we want to learn how to pray. And we will spend lots of time learning how to pray. But we want to delight that we get to pray. Yes, we should pray. But we get to pray. We get to talk to our Heavenly Father. What an invitation this is from Jesus. What a picture of God he portrays for us. But we still struggle. We still struggle. We'll leave here and we'll struggle today. We'll struggle tomorrow and we'll feel that same guilt or shame, maybe that, I should be praying more. You find out something happened. You think, I didn't pray for them. I told them I prayed for them. And then I didn't pray for them. And you just feel terrible about it. So how do we grow in it? I think the number one reason when I ask people what prevents you from praying, most everybody, me included, says, well, it's just, I just lack discipline. I just need a better system. And then I'll pray more, right? I just haven't read the right book yet that teaches me the ABCs and the right way to go about prayer. And once I do that, then I'm going to be okay. You know, if I could just get the right prayer app on my phone, then Instagram's there, so I can't do that, right? It's like over and over again, I'm trying to find the right system. See, for me, I'm a little easily distracted. If you've seen the movie Up, there's the dog in the movie Up. And the dog is on point, but as soon as the dog sees a squirrel, what happens? The dog's off. What's that? Squirrel, right? He's gone. I'm so easily distracted. So all the plans and the discipline, all that stuff, it hasn't worked for me. And for most people I talk to, it's not the ultimate answer. Now, some of you are super disciplined. Praise God for you. But that's not me. And part of my struggle has been trying to conform myself to what other people were doing. And how other people relate to God. I go, no, God made me. He's my Father too. He's yours, but he's mine. And he created me how I am. And so I want to relate to him in the way that I connect to him. That I enjoy him. How my mind works. Which is random at times. But that's okay. God invites me in over and over and over. See, I think what primarily prevents us from praying is not just discipline. I think we don't have a high enough view of who God is. I think that is what primarily hinders our prayer life. We need to be reminded over and over again of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God loved me, pursued me, saved me, and continues to invite me into a deeper relationship with himself. This is what theologian William Edgar said. If our prayer life is less than it should be, then likely it has little to do with discipline or method. What is the main problem? Simply, our view of God is less than it should be. I think he's right. Our view of God is less than it should be. So how about you? What do you think hinders your prayer life from being what you would want it to be or what you hope it would be? What is your view of God that affects your prayer life? This is why I think Jesus not only teaches us in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer this model, but then he tells this parable because he wants the disciples to know who God really is. He wants them to understand who God is so they would battle against the ways in which their faulty view of God hinders them from praying. There's lots of them, but I thought of three ways that our faulty view of God hinders our prayer life. First, we just think we're independent, that we can solve all our own problems, that we don't really need somebody else, God in particular, to solve our problems. Think about when something breaks in your apartment or your house. I mean, we live in a world now we call maintenance. Bless you that have apartments. Man, I wish I could call maintenance. That'd be great, right? But I what do? I run to Hevner, or I run to Lowe's or Home Depot. I buy what I need. I come home, I fix it. I mean, often, simply. Not every time. Sometimes I make it worse. But I think I can fix all my problems. Just the other day, one of our cars, the brakes were grinding. By the time I called the mechanic and the brakes were fixed, it was less than 24 hours. I mean, we can just solve our problems so quickly. Now, there's sometimes they get out of our control. And we know we have nothing we can do to fix this problem. And so we pray. But I think throughout much of life, We think so highly of ourselves that we can solve our problems, and we think we don't need God. We don't need God. That reveals something about our view of God. But you know what we learn from the Lord's Prayer? That we need Him for everything. In particular, even for our daily bread. That's how desperate we are for God. But when we don't view Him that way, our prayers tend to be hindered. Second, I think, is that we struggle to believe that God cares enough that He would even answer my prayer. Does God really love me to answer my prayer? Does He really want what is best for me? If so, why won't He answer my prayer? You ever ask that? When I was thinking about that, it brought me back to Paul's prayer in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul has this thing that he calls the thorn in his flesh. We don't know exactly what it is, but it's something that is frustrating, painful. He wants it gone in his life. And he prays and he asks God to get rid of it. And God says, no, I'm not getting rid of it. Now, when that happens to me, I go, God, don't you love me? Don't you want me to be better? Don't you want me to not be hindered by this thing? But we learn in this prayer from Paul when he brings us in that God did not remove the thorn because God had something better for Paul. What was the better thing for Paul? He wanted Paul to understand and know His grace and His power. He wanted Paul to see how great and glorious God was. Now, one day the thorn was gone. And one day all our ills will be gone. In the resurrection, we will get glorified bodies. We talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But for now, sometimes when God doesn't answer, we think, do you even care about me? For Paul, he had something better. And sometimes that's true of us. But our view of God is too low that we're doubting Him. God cares so deeply for us. And sometimes what He provides for us is more than we could ever ask or imagine. It may not be always what we think we want, but God knows exactly what we need. He invites us in. He does care about you. Think about those of you that have kids or grandkids, or all of us have friends and neighbors and acquaintances, how much do we want to help people, to provide for them, to give them good gifts? And Jesus says, if you who are evil can give good gifts, how much more will God? But if we don't think He cares about us, we'll struggle to pray, won't we? Oh, but He cares so deeply for us. Third, we struggle to believe that God will answer our prayer. We just simply lack faith. I was reminded as I studied this week of a great story in Acts chapter 12. Peter is in prison, and the whole church is gathered praying for Peter in prison. Short story, an angel comes and gets Peter out of prison. Peter shows up to the house where the whole church is gathered and praying. He knocks on the door. The servant girl, Rhoda, hears his voice in joy, runs back in and says, everybody, Peter's here. And you know what everybody said? You're out of your mind. That's what they said. It's in the Word of God. You are out of your mind. They were just praying for Peter in prison. Peter's out of prison, and they don't believe it. They even say, oh, it's his angel. It's not really him. This is part of why I love the Word of God, because I go, oh, that's me right there. That's me. I'm praying, and then God does it, and I go, well, that couldn't have actually happened. No, see, God answers prayer. He actually does answer prayer. As a mentor and friend would say, God not only cares, He can. He cares, and He can. It's like the father in Mark chapter 9 who has a child tormented by an evil spirit, and he says to Jesus, if you can, will you heal him? And Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And what does the father respond with? Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. He knew he struggled to believe that God could answer the prayer. And he even asked God, "Help me grow in faith." As many have said over the years, it's not about having great faith in God. It's about having faith in a great God. If we don't trust that God can answer prayer, then we will not pray. All of these reasons, and more and more and more, I think are the primary reasons why we struggle to pray. It's not about method. It's not about discipline primarily. It's about our view of who God is. And we learn in this, there's an invitation to pray to a good and loving and providing and powerful Heavenly Father. It's our duty to pray, but it's our delight to pray as well. So we're going to get into the Lord's Prayer. We're going to learn this model that Jesus gives us with all these categories so we can grow. We can learn how to pray more eloquently, more powerfully, appropriately, according to the Word. But as we get into this, what do we do here? Well, I think what we do first, and we say this all the time, is we read the Word of God. Interesting, right? A series about prayer. What do? We read the Word of God. Why? So that we would have a right view of God. When we have a right view of God, I think then we will become a people that prays. So let's dig into the Word, study the Word, read the Word, have our eyes lifted up to see who it is that we pray to, who it is that asks us to pray, and who we get to pray to. Second, here's a little tip this week. Get up at 4 a.m. and pray for an hour every day. I'm just kidding. No. We're going to start low, right? We're going to grow in this. But here's one suggestion I would have. Every time you see a brother or sister in Christ this week, every time you have a phone call with them, you talk to anyone, for a little bit of time, before you leave that conversation, pray for each other. Just real briefly. Just say a prayer for each other that God would bless, that God would bring them peace, that God would provide for them some need that they have. D.A. Carson said, "How do you grow in prayer? Well, you pray until you pray." So just pray. I mean, just keep trying, keep praying. And even in that, trust that God will do something. So maybe this week, we just pray. When you see somebody, just pray for them briefly before you part ways, just as a way to practice that we want to be this people that doesn't just say we'll pray, but we actually do, because we're commanded and it's our delight. So let's put it into practice right now. We're going to take 1 minute before George comes back up and leads us in worship. Something's on your heart. There's a burden. There's a need. There's a glory about who God is that he's brought to mind. There's something for all of us that we want to and need to pray about. And so we're just going to take a minute right now and just pray. Just pray. God hears every single prayer that we will pray. So let's just take a moment and be invited in. And let's talk to our Heavenly Father. 1 minute, George will come up. We'll have another song. And in the end, I'll come up with a final word to remind us of God's love for us.